Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Thank you, guys, for your ministry. Thank you, worship team. And thank you for those that volunteer to do children's ministry, because they'll be next door doing some. The Game of Life is the series, The Game of Life. And today is Words with Friends. And while I mention that, those of you that have that on your Facebook app, please don't play in church. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. We do have, immediately following the service, we have lunch provided for all official members of the church. This is a good opportunity for you to more than just say, oh, I missed a free lunch. It is a free lunch for the members. If you'd like to become a member, please get with me and we'll take you through the ringer. I mean, we'll orient you. We'll orient you in a class. And we'll show you where we're going, what we're up to, what the Lord's doing in our heart, what we see and envision for our community. And if you've been here and have been a part of our congregation and like to take that next step, well, what's the advantage of becoming a member? Well, if you become a member, then there are people we can count on for leadership. How many of you know that anybody can come be a part of Vision Church? And when I say anybody can come, that means anybody can come and be a part of what we're doing at Vision Church. They are welcome. Now, as people desire to respond to what the Lord's doing in their life, that there's a greater commitment and calling there, and we want to recognize that. And so membership is one of the ways that we do that. The scripture said, know those that labor amongst you. He also says, don't lay hands on any man suddenly. How many of you have ever been tempted to lay hands on somebody suddenly? Yeah, we Pentecostals sometimes have to deal with that. With our thinking, we understand the laying on of hands. And one of the powerful functions of the laying on of hands is to take someone and set them aside and recognize, just simply recognize what the Lord is doing in their life. And then we expect something more of them, and we receive something more from them. Isn't that a great deal? And membership is about that. So if you'd like to do that, I just wanted to give a plug for that. If you'd like to become a member, we'd love for you to explore that possibility with us. Well, let's just jump right in. And this morning, I know that the last 2 weeks there was a lot of content. And now what I want to kind of do is I want to kind of go in and go with a slightly different angle and kind of touch upon a couple things that we have been dealing with as we've talked about. And one of those things that we had talked about in that message, that those three cities, and you can kind of trail with me there, Valerie. I'm using last week's PowerPoint, but there's just a few things that I wanted to show you. I let them know that I had not put together a PowerPoint for this week. But how many of you know it's okay if you have a stale PowerPoint? Okay, so forgive me, but there's some things are better marinating in the refrigerator. And then when you nuke them. When Jesus shows up, the lame walk and the blind see, right? When Jesus shows up, the lame walk and the blind see. Let me say that again. When Jesus is in the house, when we connect with Him, when we open our heart to Him, I'm going to say this as many times as I can as kind of a synonym to put the same thing together. When we get in the presence of Jesus, when we become aware of the presence of Jesus, and remember, when He shows up, He brings all that He is with Him. He doesn't part Himself out, but He imparts Himself into those who are willing. And so no matter how great our need is and how vast our need is, that's not enough. What is the great connector? Faith. 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 Our belief, our trust, our openness, and our connection with Him. So when He comes into our presence, and really when we become aware that He's already there. I have some great news for you this morning. Jesus is here by His Spirit in this place. Can I get at least, is there two or three that would agree with me in Jesus' name? Two or three. Okay. That's all. We just needed two or three. But that's, the more the merrier, right? One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000. Then what will three do? Maybe about 100,000. What did four do? Maybe 1 point something million. Right? It just exponentially increases when people move into the presence of God. That's what Sister Tasha is doing here every morning when she opens the service. She's trying to facilitate and help and nudge and encourage and smile and sing. And the musicians are devoting themselves to practicing and training. Why? It's all about they love Jesus and they believe He's in the house. And that He can flow through them and use them. And when they come together and agree together, there's that divine conspiracy again. Then Jesus is in the midst of us. And when Jesus is in the midst of us by His Spirit, what? Anything can happen. Anything can happen. The miraculous comes forth when people are in the presence of Jesus and they know it. And they trust Him. They agree with Him. They acknowledge Him. They thank Him. They're open to Him. And then they assert what it is that He says as the absolute truth. They begin to live by it. This is a fact. And you know, we're living in a time when just recently a political leader that's running for office next year, I'll just leave it right there. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. Said, we have truth, our truth is better than your facts. And I'm going, excuse me? Truth is an interpretation of facts. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the primary interpreter of the facts that are confronting your life. He's not in denial of the facts, but I'll tell you this, He's Lord over them. And His truth trumps the interpretation of those facts. And He is in the house. How many of you could just need a touch from Jesus this morning? I'm going to put up both hands. How many of you just need a touch from Jesus this morning? So we've looked at those three cities, Capernaum, Nazareth, and Jerusalem. And I've made the statement to you that Vision Church wants, I've spoken on your behalf, by the way, in my PowerPoint, Vision Church wants to be just like Capernaum. I don't believe Vision Church is in Capernaum yet, but we're on our way. I don't believe Vision Church is in Nazareth. I don't want to be a church in Nazareth, do you? No, we don't want to be that church in Nazareth. But in a lot of ways, your pastor and we as a congregation are more like Jerusalemites. Hello? If there's a community that we can identify with and that I can identify with, it is Jerusalem. Not simply because I've been able to be there twice. And I'm looking forward to a new Jerusalem. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about that it's just easiest for me. It's right in my wheelhouse to live in Jerusalem. To hang out in Jerusalem. Why? Well, I love the Word of God. You love the Word of God? I love the Word of God. I like to study the Word of God. And if you're wanting to study the Word of God in Jesus' day, where do you hang out? In Jerusalem. Where are the priests? In Jerusalem. Where are the scribes? In Jerusalem. Where are the Pharisees? In Jerusalem. Where are the hypocrites of hypocrites? Yerushalayim. Jerusalem. Jerusalem has a problem. And in fact, His own disciples, even though Jesus has been crucified there outside the wall, He's been rejected where? In Jerusalem. He proclaimed woe over what? Jerusalem. He suffered, bled and died in Jerusalem. And what does Jerusalem have a reputation for? Being prophet killers. Now, for the business people in the room, how many of you enjoy profit killers? What's a profit killer in business? The thing that hurts the bottom line and doesn't allow the business to go forward. And do you know what people do in business all the time with profit killers? They seek a way to get rid of them or reform them. Jesus is no less different than that. He's not different than that. He comes into Jerusalem and says, I have to go there. I'm going. In fact, Moses and Elijah appear to him on a transfiguration mountain in Galilee and to explain to him and talk to him. And he talks with them about what? The death he's going to accomplish. Where? in Jerusalem. Now, as bad as the reputation of Jerusalem is, many of us find our greatest contentment in Jerusalem. We want to be in Jerusalem. As a pastor, as a minister, as a religious man, as a religious teacher, as somebody who loves the Word of God, I love, that's my wheelhouse, studying. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful in Jerusalem because there are some other influences there. So I want us to drill a little bit deeper this morning, and I'm just going to ask you right from the jump to open your heart and right now, and let's just right now just bow our heart together in prayer and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come? I believe that you want to search our hearts this morning because we're a church that wants to move to Capernaum, but you want to deal with the Jerusalem that's in our heart. You want to deal with some things that are not free. You want to deal with the blindness, and you want to deal with the lameness. You want to take those places that we lack courage, and you want to pour in some liquid courage. You want us to find our backbone again. You want us to find the joy of the Lord again. You want to restore to us the joy of our salvation. You want to cause us to walk and to leap and to sing and to be happy before you once again. You want to lift off some burdens. You want to take some scowls off some faces. Lord, there's some things we've always wanted to do, but we haven't had the nerve. We haven't stepped out in faith in order to do it. And in Jerusalem, we have been discouraged from doing it. Of all places, Lord, we haven't felt like we've measured up because we live in Jerusalem. We haven't felt like we're enough because we are in Jerusalem. And so we're asking, Lord, that you'd help us. You'd help us. Would you take that earthly Jerusalem out of us? And would you take the Jerusalem from above and put it within us? And would you move us out from this place? And would you help us to walk with you and to talk with you and to be refreshed by you and to discover the grace of heaven that is available to us, even in the middle of our Jerusalem? And we ask that you restore and renew faith this morning. And I ask that you do that in me, Spirit of the living God. Lead me out from Jerusalem and take me to Capernaum. Take me to the uttermost parts of the earth. I pray that in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn in your scriptures. I don't have this up on a PowerPoint this morning. And if you don't have your Bible, that's okay. I have mine. I'm going to read it. And I made reference to this in one of these, the past messages on this topic, but in 2 Samuel chapter 5, it talks about David becoming king, and David conquers Jerusalem. The subtitle in my Bible reads, David Conquers Jerusalem. And it reads this way, the king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites. Everybody say Jebusites. Who lived there. In fact, the name of Jerusalem came from the idea of the Jebus, the stronghold of the Jebusites. The Jebusites said to David, you will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame. Everybody say the blind and the lame. The blind and the lame can ward you off. They said to David, the blind and the lame can ward you off, can keep you out. They thought, David cannot get in here. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. And on that day, David said, anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind who are David's enemies. That is why they say, the blind and lame will not enter the palace. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the supporting terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Amen? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw out a parallel here, and I'm going to help us to see with this Jerusalem, this situation that David is facing, and we're going to be able to see that David is a shadow, and there's something that he's standing in the place of in these events. How many of you know these things were actual historical events? but they're also examples for us. They're examples for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is an example for you. You better pay attention this morning. Say it to your neighbor. You better pay attention this morning. This is for you. Now, if you're in Jerusalem, if you're not careful, and I'm going to deal with this right here before we go any further. We sit in church, we sit in our Jerusalem, we hear a message, and we immediately say, that's not for me. Can I just challenge you this morning, if that's been your habit, wherever you go, and especially here at home, that when I prepare and pray and preach, that you prepare by praying and then coming and getting ready to receive and saying, that's for me. In Jerusalem, you tend to think the teaching is for them out there. But no. It's for me. I need to hear it. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So there's a background here. This connects, and I just want to show you how this thread connects, and then I want to come back and kind of use this passage to kind of bring out that shadow into the full, and I'm going to just let you know, into the fullness of the light of Jesus. And into the fullness of the light of Jesus in this room, in this place, in my life, and in your life. Amen? Now, there is a precedence here. This has a history. Everybody has a history, and everything has a history. And one of the fun things about the Word of God is the threads of history that run through it. And chasing those things down. So turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the video technology lady back there. Valerie's doing a fine job. And she's going to go right with me. I thank God for you that are working in technology. Would you just let them know you appreciate them? It's kind of like this. When you do everything right, nobody hardly notices. When you don't, everyone does. So it's kind of a pressure situation. And so I thank you. But we do need more volunteers. With that, let me say, how many of you would like to volunteer and be a part of that, right? We need more volunteers to share the load. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess. This is way back. This is after God has spoken to Abraham by about 500 years. 470 years, if you want to be very precise. And now there is a prophecy going out from Moses to the people and telling them what they need to be doing as they go into this land. And he says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess. Everybody say possess. Another way for that is, that's mine. It is okay to be possessive. How many of you know it's okay to say, he's my Lord? This is my church. But don't be too possessive. This is my church, and we don't want anybody else to come and mess it up. No. But we do want to have ownership. We want to be deeply invested. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you're entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and last but not least, Jebusites. Have you heard that somewhere this morning already? Seven nations. Everybody say seven. Seven is manifold and insurmountable. Seven. Not one, not two, but seven. Something that appears to compete with the very glory of God revealed. Seven nations. Now this is interesting because Jesus later, and we're going to get into this later when we talk about, and get this as we move forward in this series, we're going to talk about demons. Okay, but we're not going to call them by name, okay? Unless they happen to show up in here, then we will. But we're going to talk about demon possession, oppression, and demonization. We're going to deal about that because how many of you know Jesus dealt with that? Sure. Now, Jesus says, in that context, he says, and when an evil spirit goes out of a man, he goes and wanders the dry places of the earth, and he looks for seven more wicked than he. And they come back, and the state of that man at the end is worse than at the beginning. So this number of seven is a number of fullness. It's a number of, like, to the greatest power. This is astounding. This is one reason, and it's a mimicry of the almighty power of God. And how many of you know that the enemy can put on quite a show and impress you and intimidate you? And so in the physical realm, we have the Jebusites, one of seven, that are intruding into God's promised territory, and they've taken up a place of residence. He said, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then, how many of you like that promise? They're delivered over. How many of you like that idea? Delivered over, and you have defeated them, which means God will give them to you. You got to whip them. All right? It's like grabbing an angry cat and throwing it to your friend. I caught him. Now you tame him. All right? I caught him. You tame him. And so the Lord says, okay, I'm going to deliver him into your hand, and now you got to deal with them. But I'll give you power to do that. Then you must destroy them totally. You must destroy them totally. What does that mean? Leave not even a fingernail trimming left behind. Completely, utterly obliterate them. Completely take them out. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy, no favor. Don't give place to them. And later, the apostle would say, and give no place to the devil. Now, I'm just going to foreshadow something right here and just let you know this, that the devil is supremely religious. He wears religious robes. He looks great in religious clothing. And he speaks the smoothest when he quotes the Bible and says, has God really said that? Did God really say that? Let me tutor you here. Sit here at my feet for a while and let me take my great wisdom and my great understanding and let me give you some insight. And that's why Paul would also say he has transformed himself as an angel of light. So as we're dealing with a very tangible people who are very tangibly and completely devoted to the enemy that is presiding over this land, God has said you've got to deal with them, show no mercy. Now, that's a very uncomfortable concept. And how many of you know there's a lot of people that say, I don't know if I want to serve a God who goes and destroys a people utterly. Better read your history. There's a very limited group of people, and there's a very specific reason that he says it. So I'm not going to give you the answer. You go search it out. How's that? Okay. Now, let's go to Judges chapter 1. Verse 21. Now, let me just say by way of introduction to the book of Judges. Judges is a very sad book because throughout it we see a lot of darkness and a few glittering jewels of faith. Because it opens up with those words, and because Joshua had basically passed away and there was another generation that was raised up, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. How many of you know that that's dangerous?
Yes, sir.
Don't believe me? Substitute a middle school classroom and say these words. I'm just going to sit here and y'all do whatever you want. Okay? When the fire is finally put out and you've gotten psychological counseling to get over your mental breakdown that you had in the classroom as a result of that 50 minutes, you're going to have realized a very important lesson. Total chaos and anarchy breaks out when you tell people, y'all just do whatever you see is right. And we're living in the United States of America today, and we believe in freedom, but we also are living amongst a whole bunch of people who say, I have my truth, I have my rights, I have my freedom, and I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. What do you get? Chaos, anarchy, and confusion. So in the book of Judges, this is the background of what's going on. And we can look in Judges chapter 1, verse 21. And we read these terribly tragic words that have such great connection to what we're looking at this morning. The Benjaminites, however, failed to dislodge the Jebusites. Everybody say Jebusites. There they are again. They keep popping up like a wooden nickel. They keep showing up like that little electrical box punch out in a Coke machine. That's a slug. They keep showing up. The Benjaminites, however, failed to dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem, to this day, the Jebusites live there with the Benjaminites. That's a sad story. Jerusalem has a much higher calling to function in. But there's something which always keeps it back from arriving at that place of its destiny. And it's called tradition. Tradition. It's the past. It's what God has done in the past, what God has spoken to us in the past, what has worked in the past, what I have come to understand from my past. And because of history, these people found themselves conforming to history and to what was going on in the land instead of conforming to the promise of God and finding His power to walk out in obedience and faith and to clear that city of the Jebusites and allow to Jerusalem to really be the jewel, to really be the crowning jewel of the cities of Israel. And I just want you to just give you a quick overview of biblical history. And have you ever asked yourself the question, why was Jesus born in Bethlehem 8 miles from Jerusalem? Why was He not raised in Jerusalem? Why did God have Joseph go back to Nazareth to raise him? Because the Father said, I love my son and I know his destiny and it'll only get messed up in Jerusalem. Those folks in Nazareth, they're who they are, but that won't hurt him. But I've got a community lined out for him to begin his ministry at, and it's the community of Capernaum. And those people in Capernaum, they're willing to believe. In fact, they're willing to believe anything. And that's the kind of people I'm going to work with. Somebody who's primed and ready to believe. People who's hungry and ready to eat. People who are desperate for a move of God and are desperately calling out to me. He has been hearing the cry of their heart. He knows what's going on. And in God's ultimate wisdom, He has Jesus leave the tempting of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit and not return to Nazareth, but return where? To Capernaum. Why? Because they're just a wonderful group of people? No. They're messed up. But they know it. They're sick and dying, and they know it. They're demon-oppressed, and they know it. And they're crying out, and they're saying, we're miserable, we're afflicted, we're tired of the pressure, we're tired of this stuff going on. God surely has another answer for us. God, hear our cry. And these nondescript people from two nondescript tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun, parked on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, has the Son of God, the Son of Man, walk into their village, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and all heaven breaks loose in that place. Give the Lord a hand clap. But when Jesus comes to Jerusalem, it's a whole nother story. It's a whole nother story. The imports, the people from outside Jerusalem that come as pilgrims, they sing Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the Lord. But let me tell you what the full-throated voice of Jerusalem says. Who do you think you are? There is no prophet that has ever come out of Nazareth. We're the officials and we know better than you. And they stood there and said, we are righteous. We are the doorway into the kingdom of heaven. We are light. And this fellow, in fact, they even say this, he is doing what he is doing by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. How many of you know they were just a little wee bit off? This is the official word of Jerusalem. Jerusalem says, not only are we going to reject you, but we're going to reject you on biblical grounds. David comes to the Jebusite stronghold just as Jesus would come to the Jebusite stronghold. How many of you know Jesus isn't afraid of a stronghold? He knows the answer. He says you bind the strong man and then you spoil his house. Jesus goes in and does what he does in the temple. He goes in and he does, but notice what he does. And it's really a message to the leadership of Jerusalem. And it is this. I'm going to open blind eyes and I'm going to heal those who are lame because you are lame and you are blind. And I'm going to keep doing it until you get the lesson. That's a tragedy, folks. I think that that can be spoken, this message can be spoken to so much of the church in North America. And this message has been resonating in my very own heart. That if we're not careful, we allow the past and our understanding and our experience to desensitize us and blind us to the future. And if we are not careful, we let a paralysis of analysis come in and we lose heart and we don't go and do that which we know we should do. As Jesus puts it, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Religiosity and religion is about attempting to reform the flesh and get them somehow to conform to God. And we've got it all backwards. True religion, true spirituality is humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's coming like Jesus to a baptism by John the Baptist. And he says, wait a minute, I need to be baptized. And Jesus says, no, I need to be baptized. I want to fulfill all righteousness. I want to say publicly before everybody that I publicly turn from my consultation of my own will and I turn towards the declaration of the will of God. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. Whenever he says go, I'm going to go. And I'm not going to ask the questions. Where he leads, I will follow. Follow all the way. When he says go to Samaria, I will, and I'll meet a woman by a well. When he says to go to Gadara, I'll go, and that man who has been tormented for years will be suddenly set free. Right. When a man asks me to come to his house, a centurion, I'll head that way. Then he'll come and he'll respond to me and say, wait, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. Just say the word, my servant will recover. I've not found faith like this. No, nowhere in Israel, and certainly not in Jerusalem. Oh, we know enough. We've experienced enough. We've been there and we wear the t-shirt. So Jesus marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusite stronghold and the men who lived there. Sounds a little bit different, doesn't it? I'm reading from 2 Samuel. And the Pharisees said to David, you'll not get in here. We, the blind and the lame, we're going to keep you out. Hello? And so Jesus went up by the water shaft. Now, let me tell you something about the water shaft. It's called the Spring of Gihon. And it's a wonderful experience when you go down subterranean and you stand near it. You can hear the roaring. It sounds like Niagara. But it's a spring. Jesus stands in Jerusalem and says, if you'll listen to me and you'll take of me the water of life, there will well up within you a spring of life. These people know what he's talking about. The welling up spring of Jerusalem is the Gihon. And Jesus is here to say, I've got something better than the Gihon. I've got water you'll drink of and never thirst again. And I've got a powerful well that will spring up in you to everlasting life and salvation. And it will become a power in you. You'll speak with tongues. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You're going to do some unimaginable and unexpected things if you'll just get with me the spring of eternal life. I know you have a Gihon here in the city. I know you have a water shaft and a water supply. In fact, it feeds that pool of Siloam because Hezekiah dug a tunnel. And over at the pool of Siloam, he had encountered in the city of Jerusalem a man that was blind. And what did he do? He sent him to the confluence or the result of the waters of the spring of Gihon. What's he saying? Come to me, you who are blind, and I will open your eyes. I will come to you, those that are lame. Call me, summon me. Say, I can't get to you. Could you please get to me? And he'll come to you and he'll say, what do you need? And say, I want to walk again. I want to stand up again. I want to find a backbone again, Lord. I want to find some boldness again. I want to proclaim instead of apologizing. I want to take a stand instead of just laying here and being dragged back and forth with the people of Jerusalem. I'm tired of halting between two opinions. I want to hear Joshua say, if the Lord be God, follow Him. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. On that day, Jesus spoke about the water of life that was in Him. And He did it in one of the feasts in Jerusalem. David then took up residence in the fortress. And it got renamed from Jebusite to the House of David, or the City of David, or Zion. When Jesus shows up, even in Jerusalem, He changes the name. He changes the name. Because the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Prince of Peace, the great God Jehovah, has become flesh, and we know His name. His name is Jesus. And He shall save His people from their sins. Even to the people of Jerusalem, He would be saying, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, those who dwell in the very citadel of David will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I'll forgive their sins. They have to turn from their wicked ways. They have to move from this mixture. So I'm here to conclude this message by saying this, and I'm going to ask maybe you put on some soft piano music back there from the technology booth. Will is playing, instead of playing this morning, he's playing with the kids. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet this morning. Yes, it's 4 minutes before 11 and you're in total shock. But just overcome that shock and stand to your feet. I just felt like this morning that instead of just being teaching as much, it's going to be really coming down to the nut of the thing. And you know, as your pastor, I am just well suited to be a Jerusalemite. I can be a religious leader. I have a lot of the gifts and skills to be in the category of teacher, rabbi, official on things. I serve as a presbyter. But you know what? There's been times in my life when I desired that. And those that desire those offices are desiring good things. But in just doing some personal introspection over the last couple years, I've had to be honest in my prayer closet and say, Lord, You talked to me before about being a paralyzed man. I need to rediscover some courage. I need to find my backbone again. I've been paralyzed. And I haven't stood up when I needed to. And I haven't spoken when I needed to. And sometimes that's been truth to power. And it's been within even our own organization. And I just want to be honest before you this morning. How many of you know confession's good for the soul? Okay? Maybe we'll be just a little bit, we won't be religious this morning. We'll just be a little bit backwards. I think it's good for you to hear your pastor be transparent and say, you know what? Jerusalem feels good. It can massage your ego. Those Jebusites, they can give you the thumbs up. Now, please, don't imagine immediately I'm talking about our superintendent or our assistant superintendent. No, that's not what I'm talking about. There are forces of darkness that want to gather against us as a church and say, the Jebusites will tell you, please don't kill us. Make a treaty with us. We'll be content to live with you. And we'll give place to the enemy. And we'll become religious. And we'll become placid. And we'll become apathetic. And we will lose our ability to speak and our ability to stand. And we will become paralyzed. But I have great news for you this morning. Jesus is here to walk amongst us and to restore energy to that nervous system and reattach those vocal cords to a heart that beats for Him. We find our voice and our strength and our spine, and we resist the devil so he'll flee from us, and that we will show Him no mercy. No mercy. I'm urging you this morning, where in your life is that paralysis come because you've made a league, an agreement, or you've just been satisfied with the way things are in Jerusalem and has paralyzed you. I'm going to ask you this morning as Jesus walks by that you tell him, I don't want to be paralyzed anymore. He's going to whisper in your ear and say, what would you have me do for you? Lord, I want to walk again. I want to find my voice again. I want to find my joy again. I want to find my energy again. I want to be touched and renewed. I don't want to be lame in my feet. These feet were made for walking. And this voice was made for talking and praising and witnessing and sharing and testifying about the goodness of Jesus, the Son of David, who has come to take down the stronghold and make this once again a city of peace. Maybe you're standing there this morning and saying, you know, there's some stuff I just need to see, and this is going to be a revision of last week. There's some things I haven't missed. Folks, I have been there. I have walked this sanctuary for hours and said, Lord, there's something I'm supposed to be seeing. And I know I'm supposed to be seeing it, but I'm not seeing it. And I've actually, through that process, purchased the eye salve from him, and he's applied it to my eyes. And I'm here to tell you, revelation is coming. Showing is happening. But I've got to have a backbone to go that way. He's not going to give me a vision if I'm not going to trust him and stand up and find my voice and follow. Maybe your heart's prayer this morning is, Lord, would you just anoint my eyes? Would you just show me my blindness? This is uncomfortable, Lord, but would you show me where I'm just too happy of being in Jerusalem? And would you touch me? Would you do a work in this spiritual nervous system? Would you help me to stand and take a stand? And would you help me to see and to hear like I'm supposed to see and hear? And some of us will pray this, Lord, would you help me to stand like I used to? And would you help me to hear like I used to? And would you help me to see like I used to? We need you to come into the stronghold and expose and root out the Jebusites and let that water of life spring up in us once again. So Lord Jesus, we stand in your presence because the Holy Spirit is here. The sevenfold Spirit is here. We're intimidated by the spirit of religion. We often feel like we don't know enough, can't say enough, and are not accurate enough. So we don't open our mouth and we shut down and we lose our impulses and we're effectively spiritually lamed. We've been through things that have hurt us and we've become lamed. We've lost our nerve and we've become effectively lamed. Lord, there's other of us as that say, Lord, I want to see like I used to see. You promised that you would pour out of your spirit and old men would dream dreams and young men would see visions. We're wanting to see you like we've never seen you before. Lord, we're asking for a spirit of repentance and a spirit of revelation to settle upon us here at Vision Church, that we would just open up our heart and open up our eyes, that we would go to the pool of Siloam that flows for the water of life, and that we would wash that mud off of our eyes that you placed upon there, and we would return seeing. We're asking you, Lord Jesus, to come into our Jerusalem and to take the lame and make them walk, and take the blind eyes and open them in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to see ourselves on that mat. Help us to see us groping about in the darkness. It's an uncomfortable picture, but it's real. It's true. When you exposed this to the Pharisees, they crucified you for it. When you expose that to us, we need to thank you for it and glorify you for it and be so grateful and say, Lord Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for having a heart to heart with me and showing me the darkness and showing me the compromise and showing me the surrender to the Jebusite. Lord, would you this week show us where we've been surrendering? Show us where we've been giving in. Show us where we have been happy with the hypocritical aspects of our life rather than grieved. Show us where we have been lame instead of walking, and blind instead of seeing. Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you fall upon us? And would you show us? Son of David, would you take the stronghold? Would you turn it the way it's supposed to be? Would you release us from our darkness and the midst of darkness and into your glorious light? Would you wash over us afresh and anew with the joy of our salvation? We ask that. We receive that from you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, just one little word of instruction before we go, because I'm going to do that, and then we're going to pray over the food. And then those of you that are going to the lunch at house, you can say, Pastor already prayed over lunch. Okay? But those of us that are going to the membership meeting, we're going to go next door. Somebody's going right now to pick up the food, so you'll have an opportunity to mix and mingle. That we're not in a rush to go anywhere. But I do want to give you a word of instruction, something that's in my heart. And it's something that I've had to wrestle with. How many of you have favorite preachers and less than favorite preachers? How many have favorite styles of music and less than favorite styles of music? But how many of you know that your favorites are anointed? And the less than favorites annoying? Huh? Now come on. Now be honest. I had you in honesty right there until that moment. You can sense where I'm going. And you know what? I tend to have my favorite ministries and favorite preachers because they really gel with me. But there's some other guys that we need to hear and listen to and receive from that we don't necessarily gel, but the Lord's going to bring them in here. And I'm just going to give you a word of instruction. You know, I'm just being transparent with you. We're going to have Joe Odin October the 13th. And Joe Odin does things from time to time that stretch me. I'm just going to be honest, okay? It's not my personality. Praise God. How many of you know that my personality is not the perfect personality, right? Everybody say amen. Come on, you know that. You're saying, yeah, we've been thinking that. Yeah, amen. It's not. But there are pastors and ministers that are outside of your personality realm, and they will bug you. I'm just saying, okay? Don't sit there and say, what he's saying, I'm going to discard because I don't like the way he goes about it. Okay, because the Lord is going to, he's wanting to expand something in us for the sake of our community. And if we act like Jerusalem, we'll only allow certain prophets here. And the others will go, not my cup of tea. Fine, it's not your cup of tea, but guess what? Joe, three seats over, is getting his socks blessed off. And that's the word that Joe needed to hear that day. And if you buckle down, you'll find that God had something to say to you too. You just weren't sure the way it was presented. The presentation. I'm just telling you, in some ways I've been a presentation snob. And I'm just repenting before you because I just deal with a little heartburn at times with certain ministries and ministers. Although I love them and support them. Right? And so I'm just letting you know, Dale Everett's one of my favorite men on the face of the earth. But he may not be yours. Okay, Dale's going to be with us next Sunday, and he's going to minister in the section that night. I want to encourage you all to come on that Sunday night, because it's going to be a group of churches, a different dynamic, and this is something that needs to happen. I think he needs to get connected into this area, because the Lord wants to use that gift to do that. And Joe needs to make us uncomfortable. You know, sometimes you need that strong wind that'll come in and just blow some junk out. I don't like to run around with a leaf blower all the time, but how many of you know you need a leaf blower in your tool shed? And sometimes you need some fire and some wind, and you need some earthquake that needs to come into the situation. So I'm just letting you know right off the jump that we need to quit being, and I have fostered some of that attitude. It's been in my spirit, and I think it's affected you. I want to apologize. And so I'm going to be branching out into some things, and I felt like the Lord instructed me on that. And I'm just going to let you know, don't have that attitude of, hey, this isn't for me, forget this, I'm against this. No, no, no. It's not for you, but it's right in the wheelhouse of somebody else. So let's forget ourselves. That's a new idea, right? Come to church, forget about ourselves, and let's just focus on Jesus and what he can do in people's lives. Because the Lord wants to stretch us. If we're going to move from Jerusalem to Capernaum, guess what? We have some stretching to do. We have some transformation to do. We have some openness to do, because that has been, unfortunately, some of that has been because of protecting you as a shepherd. I've actually built and insulated you against some stuff. And so I think it's time to defeather the nest. and let you be uncomfortable. Fair enough? So if you're mad at anybody, you'd be mad at your pastor. That turkey right up there. Him. Okay? He's leading that way. I'll take the slings and arrows. But I'm telling you something. Jesus is moving us to Capernaum. He's getting and breaking out that Jebusite stronghold, and he's moving us to be that people that he desires us to be. Aren't you glad he loves us so much he's not going to leave us there? Give the Lord a hand. Yeah, he's so good. And I won't ask you to repent publicly with a microphone in front of your face. How do you like that one? So now let's pray over the food. Lord, we just thank you for this day and your great blessings upon us. And we're going to be leaving this place. Some of us going home, going to lunch. Others are going to be gathering together for a business meeting. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to involve ourselves in reflection over the last year and what you're doing, and ask your grace and your peace upon each one. Lord, as we go into this week, let us go in saying, Lord, break that Jebusite off of me and let me move into a spirit of thanksgiving and into your court with praise. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Lord bless you as you go.